You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello. Hello, Alan. We're looking live from Orem, Utah in my office, and it looks like the Jazz are having some unfortunate events occur to them. They are 4-15 in the last 19 games. What do you attribute this to, Alan?
Wow, I'm drawing a blank. I don't know.
You're drawing a blank? I'll give you some hints. There is no Rudy Gobert. There is no Dante Exum. We have other guys going in and out of the lineup. Spill, but this is supposed to be the part of the schedule where they're supposed to catch up. And they're not catching up. I mean, why aren't they catching up? Did you watch the Charlotte game?
I did. Yes, I did. I did. It was a good game.
I don't know what was going on with that game.
I don't know either.
Did you happen to attend live?
I don't think I attended live because I'd have to fly all the way out to North Carolina for that one.
Charlotte was an away game? What was the one? What was the last home game they just had?
The last night was Indiana Pacers.
What am I thinking
Indiana
of?
Pacers. The Pacers.
Indiana. I'm thinking of Indiana. Sorry.
Yes, I was there for the Pacers game. I was there for that horrible debacle.
We're going to talk about this later, but I want to go ahead and bring it up now. You were at the Pacers game.
Yes.
I'm hearing from people in the arena that they didn't really feel like people were booing Rodney Hood. It was more of just kind of general murmuring. It didn't come off that bad on TV either, but it apparently blew up to this big controversy. What was your impression of that moment when booing occurred?
I felt like it was towards Rodney. I do. And it was right at it was during an offensive set where he went 0-for-3 and they just clanked all three of them. And after the third shot, the Pacers went the other direction, and before it even got to the other side of the floor, fans were booing. And it wasn't loud. It wasn't horrible. And what you heard on TV probably was no different live, but it was enough that I cringed a little bit. I was like, no, please don't do this. Don't do this, fans. Don't. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's players noticed it. Donovan Mitchell tweeted about it. Rodney Hood liked his tweet, and we are now back to this thing that we as Jazz fans do, where we tend to jump on our own players a little too quickly. And, you know, I personally, I don't know, booing a player doesn't help him get out of a shooting slump.
No, it doesn't. I wrote a piece on this today. Rodney responded. Did you read his response? I don't know if you caught Rodney's response, but Andy tweeted it out. He responded today in, and I don't know if it was shoot around or if it was post game, but Andy tweeted it. I think it was post game, and he had some expletives to say. So I don't know. Did you read it? Did you see what he said?
Yeah, I saw it. It was a lot of, you know, it is what it is. I'm just going to keep doing my thing and shooting my shot. You know, he said he's dealt with things like this before, had to overcome, and, you know, didn't seem fazed by it. But I think he said it is what it is 3 or 4 times in a paragraph. So I think it did bother him some.
It did. John, did you read those remarks?
Yeah, I saw the quote from him. And so it is there. It is in his head. It does suck. And
we're going to come back and touch on this a little bit more in quick hits, because I think this deserves a little bit more. But let's move on to the Jazz and let's look ahead.
All right, looking ahead, the Jazz are 17-26, which means they have to win the next 9 games just to get 500. They are currently on pace to finish 33-49. That, my friends, is the 9th pick in the draft. So, there are now a lot of guys who are eligible for trades. This is a very crucial next couple of weeks. where they can see if they're still going to try for playoffs or if they're just going to go ahead and bag it, trade their guys for parts and see what they can. Now, the upcoming next few games, plenty of winnable games. At the home against the Knicks, home against the Clippers, at Atlanta, at Detroit. I mean, you know, over the next, you know, we usually do the upcoming week. So there's four of those in the upcoming week. At Kings, home with Knicks, home with Clippers, at Atlanta. I mean, really, you should be able to go 3-1 with that schedule.
Agreed. You should.
Meadows back. Gobert might come back for one or two of those games.
Have we heard official on when to expect him back yet? I'm trying to think and trying to read back across timelines. I haven't seen an official timeline on him. Are you coming back yet?
I saw 2 or 3 days ago that he was going to be reevaluated in a week.
Okay.
So he'll be evaluated again. And if they decide, okay, he can probably go, then he will be, you know, questionable for the next game and probably in the game after that. So, yeah, I've seen clips of him in practice with Tony Bradley, and he's on his way. So I expect him to be back in the next, you know, sometime this week. I think it's looking good for him. Once we have him back, then we can start dreaming of 2 months later, Exum joining and, you know, getting our hopes up.
Right. Can we, while we're on the subject of injuries, you didn't put this in the notes, but we need to address it. Thabo Sefolosha.
Yes.
Ouch.
That one hurts big time.
Yeah. And in fact, I think I just saw word today. He is set to have surgery and is done for the year, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So yeah, that one hurts. Why don't you talk about the implications that has? Because you've been throwing some numbers out there on Twitter and some thoughts the last couple of days. Throw out some.
Well, he is.
What's the implications on this?
He is one of our best real plus minus guys. He is a glue guy. You put him in two man lineups, he makes just about everyone better. When you compare him, you know, you pair him with Derek, he looks great. You pair him with Drebko, he looks great. He was a leader on the sidelines. I mean, he's that veteran presence. The Jazz will sign veterans to help the young guys, and Thabo was that. And he's still a really good defender. His numbers got better once they decided to start playing him at the four more. But he's crucial. He has a great contract. So, you know, if they felt like they wanted to trade him, he would have been a very tempting part that other teams would want that they probably could have gotten some value for. But it sucks. So now we lost one of our best glue guys. I mean, he's no worse, I would say, than the sixth best player on the team.
Right.
So you lose a crucial piece like that and means everything. Rudy will come back, Exum, and now we'll be missing Thabo. And Thabo, you know, I really liked Thabo's play. I thought he made his teammates better, and it just sucks to see this happen to him.
Yeah, this one stings. This one hurts. And aside from what he did on the court, he's provided, and he still can, he's provided mentoring for guys like Alec Burks, Donovan Mitchell, some of the younger guys, which has been a plus. And I don't think that goes away just because he's injured. I think he'll be in street clothes on the sideline, kind of working with some of these younger players. And I hope he continues to, because that mentoring approach he's taken has been invaluable with some of those players. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. And, you know, something else with him, I just double checking. ESPN's RPM stats, Thabo was the sixth best small forward
in
Tobias Harris in real plus minus.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he makes your team better when he's on the floor.
Yeah, he does. So we're going to see how this plays out. But folks, you know, I mean, this one hurts. This one hurts pretty bad. And he's become a fan favorite, too. So Lest we go away from that, he's become a fan favorite, and this one does sting. All right, let's jump ahead. Trade talks. You had some things you wanted to talk about in trade talks.
Mirotić is now available for trade. I thought we might see or hear something once that happened. I haven't really seen anything the last day but he is one they're looking at. We're seeing that Cleveland has interest in Favors. So, you know, could there be something that sends Favors away? And there could there be another piece that we send to get Mirotić? You know, Orlando's made a lot of their guys available. Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon. There are very gettable guys. I think they'd probably love someone to try to trade for Elfrid Payton at this point.
If Fournier was available, don't you think Rudy would be jumping on Lindsay saying, bring him here? You know, Rudy and Fournier are pretty good friends, right? Like, I think the two of them have been around each other. I think Rudy would love that, wouldn't you?
I think he would. And, you know, we could really use Fournier scoring.
Yeah, we could.
And, you know, if we wound up getting Fournier, I think Rodney Hood then becomes a trade piece.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of balls up in the air, and the Jazz are going to be active and one of the most likely teams in the NBA to make a trade.
And so. I want to throw this out there. I mean, no Jazz player other than probably Donovan and Rudy at this point is untouchable. Everybody else should be on notice as far as trade talks. But let me put it this way. In no means do I want to see players go anywhere. I'd like to see the Jazz keep everybody here. I mean, you know, there's a give and take there because I want to see them successful, but I'd hate to see him go. And I have been hard on Rodney Hood because I feel like he's been inconsistent, but I feel like he can also be better. And per Andy's stats earlier today, Rodney's actually had a better year this year than in past. His usage is up and his stats are about the same. According to Andy Larson, his stats are about the same as they have been with his usage up. That's pretty good.
Oh, that is good. I was looking at Favors numbers, but I'm going to go ahead and pull up Rodney Hood.
Yeah, Andy had tweeted this out earlier because somebody was talking about the quote. Part of the quote that Rodney said was that this is his best year in his career. And somebody said, how is that possible when he's really not been very good? And Andy said, actually, he's been about the same as he has in past years, but his usage rate is up from, I think they said 22-23% all the way up to 27% on usage, and he's still putting up, you know, decent numbers for where that usage rate is at.
You know what's funny about him? His effective field goal percentage has been about the same all 4 years.
Right.
His 3-point shooting is the best it's been. Year one, he was 36. Year two, 35. Year three, 37. This year, 38%. Just tiny little improvements. His scoring is up. Let's see. And his minutes, ironically, he's playing less minutes per game this year than he did 2 years ago. Well, actually that's not ironic because he started the whole time 2 years ago.
Right.
But you're right. His usage rate is up. His assists are up. His steals are up. There's definite argument there. If you go to his per 36, he's definitely doing more than he has at any other point in his career.
Right.
So, the only thing you point to is that his defensive numbers, this is the worst year he's had.
Right.
And probably a lot of that is because Hayward's gone, Hill's gone, Gobert's gone.
Right.
A lot of the other guys who can kind of cover defensive lapses just aren't there.
Let's be honest, with Rudy out, everybody's defensive numbers are down right now. I mean, I think I read that Locke said the Jazz would be the number two defense in the NBA with Rudy. That says a lot right now. But yeah, I mean, credit to Andy. We've had Andy on the show. Andy's great. Andy's a good friend. Credit to Andy for picking up those numbers and for you know, dispelling any rumors that this is not Rodney's best year, because obviously he is. And, you know, kudos. And my bad for assuming otherwise. I think we've all been harder on Rodney. And I think the other night was just an example of that. So, and I think Hayward being gone, that hurts a lot. And it hurts a lot more than I think people realize. Hayward being here made Rodney better, made Rudy better, it gave guys on the floor opportunities to be better. And I think that's a cue to what Hayward was doing on the floor too, and the attention he drew. So, all right. I'm just looking. That's it for Jazz Notes. Let's move on to NBA News and Notes.
the Rockets Clippers non-fight.
I love your show notes. The Rockets Clippers LOLs.
It is the most hilarious non-fight. I mean, there's a secret tunnel. I just love it.
I know.
I at this point, I hope the Clippers go ahead and make the playoffs just so we can have them face the Rockets in the first round. I think that would be a fantastic series.
I would love it. I would love it. Well, okay, here we are bemoaning how the Jazz were last night. And we, in the meantime, there were sideshows in the NBA. You had the Rockets, Clippers. Did you see the little sideshow between Ben Simmons and Kyle Lowry?
Oh, yeah. Where one of them was like, hey, I'll meet you outside. And Kyle's like, I'll go right now. We're going to go right outside right now.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I love it. It's like, great, guys. Jazzland here in Salt Lake City is bemoaning a really horrendous night. Meanwhile, on the celebrity side of things, gosh,
yeah, that was good.
Oh, I heard somebody say, and I think it was an ESPN article, and then I saw Charles and Shaq just laughing it up. It they made it sound like this is like old school, like this happened all the time in the old school NBA. I mean, I heard. Who did I hear on the radio asking that very thing today? And I can't remember who, but did we have guys try to go to the locker room back in the 80s and 90s? I don't know that that happened. I don't know.
I don't know, but they were more likely to just go ahead and throw those punches on the floor.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, pre-Malice in the Palace, you had fights on the floor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You saw who the real tough guys were.
Hello, Bad Boys of Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you'd have sucker punches, and you know there's a lot of dirty stuff versus guys will just straight out punch you.
Right.
But yeah, I mean that used to happen. You can go to YouTube and you can always look up top 10 NBA fights, and they're there. But you can't have that anymore.
Chances are Bill Laimbeer was chances are Bill Laimbeer was one of those guys.
Oh yeah, he was.
I don't know.
Laimbeer was freaking dirty. Yeah. Laimbeer and Bruce Bowen and Dennis Rodman were just slimy players.
Yep, pretty much.
Anyway.
I don't know. I did. I loved your notes on it because I agree. I just LOL'd the whole thing. It's just hilarious. And you know, did you see the Woj tweet about Clint Capella that kind of went in line with it?
I know. That was good.
I can't bring it up.
I saw someone compare it to like World War II tactics where you send in the Swiss guy in the front to distract while the main troops are.
Yeah. I wish I could find that tweet right now, but Woj, the whole Clint Capella and the Rockets rejected him. I'm like, oh dear. Or not the Rockets or the Clippers or somebody. I can't remember how the whole thing went. It was hilarious.
Well, it was a female employee who answered the door and she didn't know what to do, so she just closed the door on him.
Devin, any thoughts on this LOLs of last night? Did you catch any of the stuff on Twitter and social media over it?
I just want to see the fight happen.
Oh, you want to see it happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually want to see it happen. Don't you?
Well, yeah. Somebody said the whole thing started with Austin Rivers. Did Austin Rivers start the whole thing?
Austin Rivers didn't play. Yeah, he didn't play. So he was just like talking smack all night is what I saw.
Oh, brother.
Just yelling at players, you know, puffing his chest.
Oh, God.
Standing behind his dad.
Yeah.
Standing behind his dad. I was actually listening to Bill Simmons earlier talk about it, and he said he think there should be exception, that guys should be able to just go ahead and fight Austin Rivers.
Oh, God.
He's like the one player that should be okay.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. And then, like I said, then I turn on the tweet, or turn on the, you know, go through Twitter timeline today, and I see the tweet of Simmons calling Kyle Lowry. It's like, go meet me in the parking lot with the by the flagpole right now. All right, I'm there. And he's out the door. It's like, whoa, dude. I don't know. Great night in the NBA last night, folks. You missed out. We all missed out.
There needs to be some, like, they need to be able to fight. We need a penalty box in the NBA. That's what we need.
Could you imagine the suspensions that would be thrown out now? No suspensions. You want free reign for one night.
Ooh, what's that movie? Is it what's the movie, John? The Purge or whatever? Where like all crime is legal for 24 hours or whatever it is? Do we need that like a weekend with the NBA where all fights are legal? Like there's no penalties handed out.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, stuff like that is. See, this is why I'm a fan of the Purge movies.
The main event, Russell Westbrook versus Kevin Durant. Oh, wait.
Yeah, we should bring back Celebrity Deathmatch, but instead of Claymation, just let them actually fight. Oh,
the best. MTV Celebrity Deathmatch.
There was a show. Actually, there was one. It was called Grudge Match. This is like 25 years ago. And it had John Panette was the ref, and he's that 300-pound comedian.
Yeah.
And Jesse Ventura was on commentary. And it had real people who had grudges. And so it was like, all right, they're going to box with these giant gloves. And then whoever wins the argument, you know, judges would rule if there was no knockouts. And it was really silly and stupid. But, you know, we could bring that back for the NBA. That could be like one of the All-Star nights.
How about
let's
this?
Just get some grudge matches.
How about this? If you make the playoffs, you don't have to fight. But if you miss the playoffs, if you're a lottery team, you fight for the top seed.
Hmm.
Okay. I'm not opposed.
No.
It does away with tanking. you're just matched up.
I'm still going back to John's. I want somebody creative out there to create some sort of maybe this is where we need James Hansen because he's so handy with this stuff. Create a YouTube short of Celebrity Deathmatch NBA style. I just put the heads of NBA players on these guys and have them duke it out. I'd get a kick out of it.
Well, we've already seen the the videos like of the WWE or whatever.
Yeah.
Where they put like Kevin Durant's head on.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You know, we can do this.
Let's do that with Celebrity Deathmatch. It needs to happen.
And we'll just start with the Rockets and the Clippers, right?
Yeah.
I know I'm jumping here. Do we have anything else?
No, I think that's all of NBA news and notes. We don't have any other notes to throw in there, do we, John?
No.
All right, let's move on.
We're going to jump right into my quick hits then. I thought I heard a rumor or saw a rumor somewhere that DeAndre Jordan wants to be traded to the Rockets.
Is this going to be another one of those? Yeah. Is this going to be another one of those when it happens or when it starts to happen, he's going to pull out again? Wait, hold up. Maybe that was the wrong choice of words, Devin. My bad.
How many kids does DeAndre have?
I don't know.
More That's than he planned on.
Not something I was planning on looking up, but I can, I guess.
Pull up.
But yeah, Stephen A. Smith reported that this morning that DeAndre wanted to be traded to the Rockets.
Okay, if you're the Rockets, would you do that? And if so, why? Why or why not?
Why would you? You have Clint Capella, and he's been doing well. So if you're getting DeAndre Jordan, what are you willing to give back?
Isn't Clint isn't Capella a better player than Jordan at this point?
I don't know if he is, but he really fits what they're doing.
I agree. I mean, why would you do it?
I mean, that's who you have to give up to get DeAndre Jordan, right? So
agreed.
You know, is he really that much of an improvement? I think Clint's been... Let me pull him up. Okay, Clint is 14-11, 1.8 blocks a game. Why do you need DeAndre Jordan when you have Clint Capella?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. And the money involved. Because Capella's on a much better contract than what you're going to get Jordan for,
so,
right?
The only reason why
DeAndre's averaging, he's like the reverse. Okay, DeAndre's having 11 points and 14 rebounds, whereas Clint Capella's the reverse. He's only one block a game. I mean, yeah, I don't know why the Rockets would do that.
Because Chris Paul's telling him they should because he likes DeAndre Jordan, maybe?
Does he?
I don't know.
You know what's funny?
I don't know.
Going back to the Rockets Clippers, it's like as soon as Chris Paul left, everyone on the Clippers is like, oh man, we hated Chris Paul. It was awful. None of us were having any fun. The Clippers are a lot more breezy and fun this year. Maybe Chris Paul misses DeAndre Jordan. Not too many other Clippers miss Chris Paul. You can tell.
Why?
I don't know. I think DeAndre Jordan wants to be in a better situation. He's looking at the Clippers. Yeah, they're making the playoffs now, but they're a first round exit. I mean, Houston has the chance to be a dynasty, and he wants to get in on that, and who could blame him? But I just don't see why the Rockets would do it. I don't think he makes the team that much better. I think Clint Capella is great for that team, and if I was the Rockets, I would say Clippers have to add some sweeteners if you want us to do something like that.
And if I'm the Rockets, I'm doing everything I can to hold on to Clint Capella, because even if you don't trade him in a trade like this and you don't want to, somebody's going to come knocking and pay him some money when he's a free agent. Period. And do you,
all right, now I got to look this up. Clint is on one heck of a deal. Okay, Clint's going to get paid this summer.
That's what I'm saying.
He is still on his rookie contract. Holy crap. So yeah, Clint's getting paid this summer.
And can the Rockets afford him? That's the big one right there.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be tricky because Chris Paul's a free agent, so they'll have to renegotiate that.
Right.
Trevor Ariza is gone. The Rockets, I think, would do anything they can to get rid of Ryan Anderson's contract, even though Ryan's been playing really well for them this year. But right. they're going to be deep, deep, deep into the luxury tax.
In my opinion, at this point in time, guys that Rockets want to keep, obviously Harden, you want to try and keep Chris Paul. Eric Gordon, you don't want to let go. Gordon's been huge for them. And Clint Capella. Beyond that, you're going to have to retool in place. Those four guys, you don't want going anywhere.
Well, see, DeAndre, he has a player option this summer. He could waive it or he can go ahead and pick it up.
Right.
And I was listening to some national podcast where they were talking about how DeAndre, it might be in his best interest to go ahead and pick up that player option, play another year with the Clippers, because they're going to be, teams are going to have more money next summer compared to this summer.
Right.
And it might actually, he might actually wind up getting the better deal.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't see that trade happening, Devin. Long answer for a quick hit, but I don't see that trade happening.
Yeah, I mean, for that trade to happen, Clippers would have to want to take back Ryan Anderson,
yep.
And they're just not going to want to.
Agreed.
Maybe they'll think it's worth it to get Ryan Anderson and Clint Capella, and then you just re-sign Capella. But there'd have to be more sweeteners. I think the Rockets are pretty happy with the roster they have. I hereby shoot down that trade. I don't think DeAndre's going to the Rockets.
Okay. Sounds like we're all on the same page. A little bit of news out of Chicago, or is it non-news? I guess that's what I want to know. Lauri Markkanen. I hope I'm saying that right. John, you would know.
Markkanen. Is it Markkanen?
Markkanen's how I've been saying it.
That's how I've been saying it.
Whatever his name is.
The rookie.
The Rook has made 100.
The Rook.
Made 100 threes. And that doesn't sound all that impressive, but then you look at it and he's done it in, what, 41 games, which is the fastest in NBA history.
That is impressive.
Is that a big deal, or is that just the situation in Chicago where guys are just able to take shots? He's not having to go through anyone else to get his looks.
Hence the reason why Mirotić is now available on trade.
Well, you know, it's because he's a power forward. That's what kind of adds to the impressiveness of that.
Oh, yeah.
It is Markkanen, according to Basketball Reference. Markkanen. The thing about Markkanen that I like is that during the draft, when he was picked by Chicago, there were people who were decrying that pick because they said that meant that the Jimmy Butler trade wound up not being that great. And Markkanen, I mean, don't you have to say he's the fourth best rookie this year? Maybe fifth?
Fourth or fifth. I mean, you gotta count for Dennis.
Between him and Kuzma.
Well, what about Dennis Smith Jr.?
How many threes has he hit?
I mean, he's had his up and downs, but I think I'd put him right there in that 4 to 6 range. All three of them. You're right. I mean, Kuzma's right up there. So those three right there come to mind for me as the fourth, fifth, and sixth guys, give or take either night.
Yeah, I'd put Markkanen ahead of Smith.
Okay.
He's a better outside shooter. He's just scoring more. And when you're rookies, there's just so many things you can really look at.
But I don't know that I'd put him ahead of Kuzma. I know 100 threes, but come on, Devin.
Kuzma.
I'm not putting him out of Kuzma.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd put him out of Kuzma.
Kuzma's the leading scorer for the Lakers.
Exactly. So I think it goes Kuzma, then Markkanen. So, yeah. But, yeah, he's definitely one of the top four or five guys.
Yeah, Kuzma's a big baller. Okay.
Yep.
You can't take someone over Kuzma.
Kuz control.
Okay. So we're saying, yeah, that's kind of a big deal, but time will tell, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's just reach back to what we were talking about earlier, real quick, and we want to keep it short. Quick hit.
Yes.
Booing.
Don't do it.
John, don't do it. Can you do it? I think you can do it.
Can you? Sure, you can. But does it help? No. I mean, I'm okay when they boo like the team in general's efforts.
Yes.
I've been in the arena when they've done that. But when you're booing an individual player on your team, I don't see how that helps. I see nothing to be gained from that.
It depends on when the boo is happening. If you've gone down and there's three bad shots, that's like a collective team effort thing.
Last night, Rodney Hood, 0-for-3 in a certain single possession. I don't boo that. I'm sorry. And I had just said my frustrations about Rodney not hitting shots. But I'm with John on this. Again, I don't know if I said this earlier, but if I did, I'm pointing back. I said this in the article. Go back to Jerry Sloan days. How many times did we hear fans booing the team's effort on the floor, right? Do you remember Jerry's post-game remarks in those games? He said, I'd boo us too. Because I get that.
Right.
But single player singling him out?
I'm not saying you boo him during the starting lineup or that you boo him when he comes in or you boo him at the free throw line.
Right.
I'm just saying if you've gone down and you haven't made a shot the last five possessions and no one's doing anything, no one's moving or whatever the case may be, you're allowed to express it. Now, is it in bad taste? Sometimes, yeah.
I think so.
But honestly, I would think sometimes guys need to hear it.
Well, here's my reasoning. And Devin, we were talking about this before the show. Here's my reasoning behind why it's bad taste. You spend all this time giving love and support to a player, expressing how much you love them, how much you appreciate them, how much you think they're great for the team, all of this stuff, only to turn on them at a moment's notice because they're failing miserably in front of you.
It's tough love.
I have issues with
it. Okay, here's what I say, okay? You can do whatever Donovan Mitchell says you can do.
Oh, and Donovan came to his aid last night. Watch out, folks. Watch out. Here's my other thing. Final thought on this, Devin. My other point is Donovan makes a great point with his tweet. How does this, and I said this in my piece, how does this affect other players around you when they see fans booing players? How do you think Donovan approaches that going forward? Does he in the back of his mind going, I don't know, when are the fans going to turn on me, right?
Donovan, if you're listening, never. We will never turn
never.
On you.
But John, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, the times that I remember players getting booed where it was probably justified is when a player is playing selfish. Because I remember being in an arena when CJ Miles got booed because he was shooting everything and missing, and it just wasn't in the offense. It was a matter of if someone passed it to CJ, he would shoot.
Right.
And he was having a bad shooting night, and you just know in his head he's going, shooter's got to keep shooting. And he wound up being something like 3 or 15 or something. The other player that I remember getting booed was Mo Williams. It was a game where the Jazz were up by 6, but like the last 6 possessions, Mo Williams played hero ball, didn't pass it, shot it, and he missed like all 6 shots and wound up losing them in the game. And I remember him getting booed. And that was probably justified because in the back of his head, I need to trust my teammates a little bit more, not try to play hero ball. Those are times where I can understand it if a player's playing selfish. Hood, I don't really remember him being selfish at that moment. I think he was in the offense. He just happened to miss a couple of shots in a row, and that's when people started getting impatient.
And sometimes you do have to try to shoot your way out of that, as much as it sucks. You know, and Harpring will tell you that you go in and you get a layup and you're warmed up, but sometimes the shot just isn't going to fall for you. And if you don't have confidence in your shot to keep shooting it, then, you know, you're never going to be the type of player that people want you to be.
And final thought to that point, last night, Jazz were atrocious from 3. So let's be fair. It wasn't just Rodney. The entire team couldn't hit broadside of the barn from downtown. Just wasn't happening. 21%, I think, at one point.
Okay, let's jump to something more enjoyable, but also more heartbreaking.
Okay.
Do you guys watch any football over the weekend?
Yeah, some.
Yes.
You know what I'm going to talk about?
The Vikings. The game that you called the game of the week, didn't you?
I don't know what I said.
No,
I don't remember what I say on this thing.
I thought last week you said the Vikings Saints was the game to watch this week.
They were almost all games.
Yeah, John said that. That's true. One of us said it. I couldn't remember who.
I was correct, too.
Yes, you
awesome
were.
Game.
Go ahead, Devin.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to talk about that game.
Oh, you weren't talking about that game?
No. I wanted to talk about Jacksonville and Pittsburgh.
Two great games. I mean, do you plan on talking about both of them?
No.
Okay, fine.
I didn't watch the Jags game. I saw the ending, and you know, that sounded like that was a really good game.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I had watched it.
It was good from what I watched, and Pittsburgh really tried to make a game of it. You know, it was a pretty good weekend overall. I mean, some team won that we knew would win, but
Jags were in control of that entire game. They were up 3 touchdowns at one point.
They played phenomenally.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see them match up with New England. And then of course let's talk about the final minutes of that game. I did not see it. I only saw the highlights because I walked in the door about 5 minutes after the game ended, if that. Yeah, I missed it.
Well, do you want to hear me? My little experience?
Yes, yes.
I listened to the radio and I heard Drew Brees march the Saints down the field. They kicked the field goal to go ahead, and I thought, "Up, that's the game," and I tweeted it out. I said, never give Drew Brees time. Just don't. And then somebody responded to me on Twitter and said, yeah, that tweet kind of sucks now, don't it? And I said, what? Sure enough, a couple minutes later, I see that the Vikings come back with 6 seconds left. I went, are you kidding me? I shut it off thinking it was done. So
yeah, I tweeted out the Titanic touchdown account on that one.
I saw that. I'm with you, Devin. I shut it off. I thought it was done.
So I got to ask, and I'm sorry, Utah fans, we'll not be specific about this, but a certain player missed the tackle. Some people are saying that he just completely whiffed. That's why you keep your head up when you go to tackle. I am of the mindset of he knew he was there early and he intentionally missed digs.
To avoid the penalty,
which would have set them up, I believe, within field goal range. Penalty would have added time for a kick to have them win it.
I think that's a fair assessment.
I thought that's what happened there too.
I'm also going to
when you look at it, because he's really ducking, and I think he knows he's there early and doesn't want to get the penalty.
There were numerous outcomes for that moment, though. Can we all be in agreement? Because Diggs makes that catch. Goes out of bounds instead of composing himself and running, instead of Jackson falling underneath him, Williams, right? Williams. Instead of Williams falling underneath him, Diggs catches it out of bounds. They still got 6 seconds to still run a play, right? Even kick a field goal. They're within field goal range. They can still win. So I, in no means do I think that Williams misstep on that defensive play changes the outcome or potential outcome of that game, does he?
Well, there were no timeouts, so if he gets him in bounds, I think it's ball game, if I recall correctly. But
I agree, but I felt like the trajectory of that ball was sending Diggs in a way that he would have ended up out of bounds. I mean, even on the missed tackle, Diggs composed himself, put his hand on the ground, and looked awfully close to being out of bounds when he caught himself, right?
He was pretty close.
So
he was.
It's hard to say what outcome came of that.
I think the entire mentality was preventing them from getting field goal range. And I think the first thing in his mind was, I don't want to be the guy that gives him pass interference that gets him in field goal range that wins this.
Right. You want him to earn it rather than you give it to him. You know, he has to catch the ball and he has to run it in and everything else. But
that said, Williams has got a promising career ahead of him. And I think he can hold his head high for that.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, and I didn't catch the earlier part of the game, but his teammate from BYU sounds like he had a pretty good game too on the kickoff returns. Did Taysom have himself a pretty good game in that game? I thought I had heard he did.
John? I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought I'd read some tweets.
I really don't remember that much about it. Yeah. Maybe.
I thought I'd read some tweets where Taysom had himself a good game of it too. So I love seeing locals succeed. It's a good thing.
Okay. So as far as where this goes in the history books, is this one of, let's say, the top five playoff games?
Easily.
Maybe number one.
Yep.
Easily.
Okay.
Shout out.
Number one is the one where they threw that lateral across the field. And that was a Tennessee game.
Oh, that's right. Whoa. Wow.
Did you guys hear that?
John's turning on some tunes in the background. What you got going on there, John?
Freaking ESPN. I hate that I go on ESPN's website and they just start playing videos. It's awful.
Oh, we thought you were at
ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports.
John, we thought you were having a little dance party without us. It was like, wow, John.
I could have.
Okay, so let's look ahead. So this week you've got the Vikings and the Eagles, and you have the Patriots and the Jaguars. Who are you taking to be your Super Bowl contenders?
Vikings and Eagles, you said?
Vikings and Eagles.
That's going to be good.
I'm not changing my tune. I've been saying Eagles all along. I'm going to stay with it, but wouldn't surprise me if the Vikings pulled out the win. And then on the AFC side, I've been saying the Patriots all along. I'll stand by it, but holy crap, Jacksonville looks good, so I would not be surprised if they pulled it out.
John? I would be. I would be pleasantly, happily surprised if Jacksonville pulled it out. I'm rooting for Jacksonville deeply and passionately. I think the Patriots are still going to win.
Right.
And then with the Vikings and Eagles, Nick Foles has been doing yeoman's work, but man, it really sucks to not have Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And I am inclined to give it to the Vikings. I think we're going to have a Patriots-Vikings Super Bowl, and I would be happy with, of the four teams left, you know, as long as it's not the Patriots, I'm happy. That's where I am.
See, I don't know. I kind of want to see Philadelphia keep it going despite the injury, but at the same time, Minnesota having a chance to host the Super Bowl and be a part of it would be huge. And,
yeah,
and
it would.
I would love that for them.
Yep.
Yeah, it would.
The Patriots, don't get me started. Jacksonville. Here's a fun fact. When I was a kid, when I was a wee lad, and the NFL expanded,
yes,
and added Carolina and Jacksonville.
Yes.
I was a Jacksonville fan because I liked the mascot and I liked the colors. And the more I watched football, the more I realized that I did not want to be a Jacksonville fan. I just liked the animal.
Yeah.
So this is like me reaching back to my youth, being like, okay, it's all right now. You know, come into 2018 and you can be a fan, young Devin.
Well, I'm trying to remember. Jacksonville has been in the conference championship before, haven't they? Back in the early days, they were there once, weren't they?
They had a few good seasons, I think.
You know, Carolina was the one that really improved quickly once they entered the season.
Yes, they did.
Because I think their second year they were like 7-9, and Jacksonville was always like 4-12 for the first few years that they were in existence. Okay, so Carolina is the one I always remember having more success in general.
Agreed.
I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to say, and I'm probably going to be wrong on both of these. Philadelphia, Minnesota, I'd like to give it to you, but I'm going with the Eagles. And Jacksonville, I believe.
You believe, so you're going Jacksonville.
It has not happened. The number one seed has, I was looking, the number one seed has advanced from, I think, both conferences every year for like the past 5 years or something like that.
Which is huge. I think the last team that wasn't the number one team to advance was the Wild Card Giants, wasn't it?
I don't even know.
I think that's the last team that did advance.
So
I had forgotten that Tom Coughlin was the head coach of Jacksonville when they started.
Yep, sure was.
And yeah, they eventually found success. I'm just kind of flipping through their seasons. But yeah, they...
All right, so
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we've made our picks. We'll have to see how it turns out.
Okay, there was we're gonna do a transition here, and there's two more topics I want to cover, and neither of them is going to be very comfortable.
Okay.
There was a tweet that went out earlier tonight. We're recording this in the evening out of Pullman, Washington. John, I believe you saw this. Alan, I'm not sure if you did.
Probably not.
Yep.
Washington State University football player. Let me see here.
Their quarterback.
Yeah, their redshirt quarterback, Tyler, is it Helinski?
Helinski,
21 years old, deceased in his apartment from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Note there, and so just sending our condolences out to any of our listeners that may be fans, or if there's anyone that happens to have known him. Just a tragic moment, and seems like we're seeing this a lot. And especially in the digital age where everyone is so connected, I think we tend to see it and acknowledge it more than we used to. But I don't know if we're doing all that we can to try and stop it. You know what I mean? It's still one of those topics that we kind of get uncomfortable with and we don't talk about. But I know I've seen people struggling, you know, friends, and I've lost friends to this, and it's something really important to me. So anyone out there who's going through a hard time, you know, doesn't matter who you are, this affects everyone, you know.
Yeah.
Celebrities, everyday Joes, it can hit anyone at any age, and there's help out there, and there's people that you can talk to that are your friends, family. There's also the suicide hotline, plenty of resources, and there are plenty of reasons to stay, even though it may not seem like it. So, you know, just sending our thoughts and prayers out to the Pullman community and to the Helinski family, and hopefully we do all we can to try and slow and eventually stop how often this happens. So I don't know if you guys want to add anything to that, or if we should jump to our last hit.
I think you hit it perfectly enough.
Well said.
People struggle, and a lot of those struggles just aren't well known to others. And it's we need to be conscious of our friends, of our acquaintances, of people who may be struggling and wearing a mask to hide it all. It's real. The stigma, it's not a stigma anymore. It's a real situation. So you're right, Devin, this one's a tough one to talk on. So, but thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that you got to address it. So, yeah. You know, we're not going to shy away from things, and we appreciate that the listeners want us to talk about things that aren't always comfortable.
Any other thoughts to add to that, John?
No, well said.
All right, let's.
Okay, last quick hit. And John, I think you have more knowledge of this than I, but I want to talk about the information that's coming out with Michigan State Dr. Larry Nassar USA Gymnastics. That's just a disaster and a horrible situation as well.
Yeah. Another Olympian has come out and charged abuse. He has already gone to trial for this. We are just learning more and more about all of his different victims. And he has, you know, he's already been sentenced to 60 years in prison. He was charged with sexual assault and child porn and a bunch of other ones, but he was the doctor for the USA Gymnastics for over 20 years. And apparently during all this time, there were several people on the team that he was molesting or abusing or whatnot. And, you know, 2017 was the year of Me Too, and some monsters are worse than others. And this guy is one of the worst. Larry Nassar, Harvey Weinstein, some of them, we are finding out just how evil they were. And this guy was evil. And, you know, Simone Biles, you know, she was a gold medalist in the 2016 Olympics, and, you know, she too had this happen to her. It's like no one was immune from this guy. And it's just amazing that this was able to happen so long. And I feel like with what's been going on the past year, more situations like this are going to come to light, and more situations like this are not going to be allowed to fester. So the guy's already going to be in prison the rest of his life. He's in his 50s. He got sentenced to 60 years. I'm sure he's going to die in prison, but you know, here's another name, and it's just really sad this happened, and the guy is where he belongs, in jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and not only what he's done is completely repulsive and, as you said, evil, but you have to think about, from what I've heard, there seems to be some people covering up the tracks here, trying to silence people. And it takes me back to Penn State, you know, and I know Penn State wants to shake that, but this to me comes back up there with the Sandusky scandal. You know, in the same despicable way that, I mean, what do you do? Because something has to be done. There need to be some repercussions for whoever's watch this was occurring under, whether that be the USA Gymnastics, whether that be at Michigan State. It's just not okay in any capacity. And if anyone had even the slightest hint that this could be going on, I mean, you hear the phrase, oh, well, that's someone's daughter, or that could be, you know what I mean? If you have a sister or whatever. No, it's wrong because it's wrong. It's despicable because it's another person, not because it's someone's sister, you know? Mm-hmm. And not only that, it's a child. So I don't know. Have you heard anything about what could be coming down for the organizations, I guess, that this is happening under?
No, that's a good question. That's a good question. I know his sentence, but I don't know if anything else has happened to them.
I'll have to go through and read. I know that ESPN put out an article, I believe it was today, Tuesday, and the title was Nassar Surrounded by Adults Who Enabled His Predatory Behavior. So I'll have to give that one a look over. But if anyone wants to learn more about it, you might have to watch a video because it's ESPN. But it does appear they have some great, good information
great,
on this.
Great humor moment to stick.
Sorry, I had to lighten it up because honestly, this sort of thing just really pisses me off.
Yeah,
so.
It does. Agreed. All right. That'll do it for quick hits, right?
Yeah. Let's stop there.
All right. Let's move on to pop culture. John, before you get into your movie, cause you want to talk a movie, part of pop culture, we've waited. This might fit into one of Devin's quick hits. It's a dark moment too, but want to give a silent remembrance to Dolores O'Riordan from The Cranberries. John, you remember The Cranberries, right?
I certainly do.
Yeah. So the latest I read on CNN is that officials are calling her death now not suspicious. They called it unexplained initially. It is no longer unexplained, but rather not suspicious, I guess. So they're looking into it further. She was suffering from mental health and physical health, and I don't know. My guess is might have been something to do with suicide, perhaps, or maybe drugs. I don't know. But no details have been released on it, so... But
we'll learn more. That I've been waiting to learn how she died because she's only in her 40s. So
yeah, 46
something. Yeah, I mean she's only 2 years older than me, which feels weird. I've done nothing with my life. Good grief! But yeah, she. All I've seen is that she was found dead in her hotel room. So you kind of think it's probably drugs or. Drug related, but I just googled it and there's still nothing more than that, so
yeah,
I'm looking forward to learning what actually killed her. One in customer satisfaction. God. You know who else plays videos? CNN. FCNN.
Yeah, thank
they
you
just
for the
start playing videos when you're trying to look up a news thing.
CNN, the worldwide
what
leader
is wrong
in news.
With these idiot websites? Do you want me to go to your website or not?
Anyway, we'll get on to the movie topic, but I just wanted to say we love the Cranberries. I love the Cranberries. My favorite song was Dreams. Love Dolores O'Riordan's voice and her musical talent. Another great one lost on us at a very young age. So let's move on to movies. You had a movie you wanted to talk about.
I did. I saw I, Tonya over the weekend. This is the movie about Tonya Harding.
Yes.
And it was really good. Really good. I really enjoyed it. Tonya Harding is one of those 90s things like O.J. Simpson's where you kind of remember the scandal. This one is... It's from Tonya's point of view, but it is based on interviews that the guy did with Tonya Harding and her ex-husband, Jeff Galooly. And he found that their stories just wildly contradicted each other almost on everything. And so the movie starts with this caveat. It says, this movie is based on irony-free, wildly contradictory real-life interviews with Tonya Harding and Jeff Galooly. So both of them are like narrating events.
Right.
And it shows different scenes of it happening. But ultimately, I came away from it just really feeling bad for Tonya Harding and feeling like she got a raw deal. For those who don't remember, around 1993 or 4, Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan were considered the two best American figure skaters, and they were going to go to the Olympics. And then someone attacked Nancy Kerrigan, hit her in the knee, injured her for a while. It eventually came out that Tonya Harding's ex-husband had arranged the hit on Nancy Kerrigan, and it was largely assumed that Tonya Harding knew something about it.
Huge scandal.
Instantly villainized, and it was all over TV at the time.
Yep.
Until the OJ thing happened, Tonya Harding was the number one story. This movie, it lets you see her life, and she just never really had a chance. She had a horribly abusive mother. She had a horribly abusive husband. And yet she had this talent. And it really kind of put things in perspective for me because she was only 23 when this scandal took place. And Margot Robbie, who played Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad, she is great as Tonya Harding. I am rooting for her to win Best Actress. I think she is that good in this role. It's mostly a dark comedy, and it does a really good job of making it a dark comedy when you consider that the main character is a victim of domestic abuse, but it finds the way to thread the needle. And yet there's this one moment where she looks directly at the camera and kind of accused the audience of continuing to abusing her by making her a punchline that was just really effective. I'm putting this one into my top 10. I can't remember what I'll be bumping for it, but it was really good. I was super impressed.
Don't you dare bump Last Jedi. Don't you dare.
I'll whatever number 9 was then. I don't know. I'll have to look. But yeah. But yeah, this was really good. I highly recommend it.
All right.
It's like anyone who ever laughed at a Tonya Harding joke probably should see this movie.
Yeah. That's probably true. What was it rated?
It's rated R. Tons rated of swearing.
R. Okay, but yeah, I remember this entire sequence of events. And you know, we brought this up a few weeks back when we were talking about the Menendez brothers, because this really was this section of the 90s had so much going on. You had the Menendez brothers. You had this scenario. You had, like you mentioned, O.J. Simpson.
JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, JonBenet Ramsey. So much going on at that time. Newsworthy. Big.
Ruby Ridge.
Yep.
It's like cable news was young, and so we had stories like this where that would be all they'd talk about for months.
Yeah,
until something
crazy.
Else came up.
It was totally crazy. So, yeah, go check out I, Tonya. There you go. Comes recommended from John. I probably won't see it, but it intrigues me. Maybe I'll wait for the made for TV, like deleted cuts, whatever, you know.
The Vid Angel.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. The Vid Angel. Yeah, that's a good way.
I have to bleep a lot, but yeah.
Yeah. Any other pop culture news, notes, thoughts? Devin, anything to add to pop culture tonight?
Not unless you want to talk music.
Are you going to talk about your favorite bands? Is that what you're going to talk about?
Oh, I found an album and I've been fanboying over it for a week now.
Oh, who is it?
It is, it may be a friend of Joe Ingles. It may be a friend of Dante Exum. It is an Australian band. called Gang of Youths.
Yes, I've seen you talk about them.
And the album is Go Farther in Lightness. It came out last fall.
Nice.
And I did not pay attention to it.
And you're in love.
I cannot gush over this album enough.
Wow.
It is phenomenal. And it's not just the music, it's the lyrics are more of a poetry than a typical lyric. It's just been very, very enjoyable to listen to. So
okay.
If you want some strings, some 80s nostalgia, some Bruce Springsteen influence in there, kind of with the indie alternative vibe, it's really good.
Say the name of the band again.
Gang of Youths.
All right. By the way, John, I have to bring this up. We talked boy bands a couple weeks back, Devin, John, right? The Miami Heat must listen to our podcast. I'm just going to say this. I wish I could find the tweet and share it with you, because within days of our podcast being released, our episode.
Oh, I did see this.
The Miami Heat tweeted out a picture of four members of the team, and it was boy band style.
Dude. I think it was like their starting lineup.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe all five of the starting lineup, boy band style. I'm like, man, they listened to us. Because weren't we talking about the Jazz boy band? I mean, Miami Heat one-upped us. They came right out with their solid starting boy band lineup.
Yeah, but they didn't have a cool name like I did. They're probably like the starting five or something like that, something lame. They can't use that name. You cannot use that name, Miami.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, unless we have anything else to add, let's go ahead and wrap up this week's episode of Jedi and Germs. We want to thank you for being along for the ride. Thank you for listening each and every week and for supporting us. We appreciate it very much. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. Join our discussion. John and I will try and throw out some live videos every once in a while on Facebook. We've been trying to do that a little more. We're sharing articles, sharing things a little bit more, being a little more active. So feel free to join the discussion. Feel free to follow, comment, share your thoughts. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just look up Jedi and Germs. And we thank you for being along. We'll talk to you very soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.